Everybody knows it's going to happen, presidential transition. It happens at every level, from the Oval Office itself to the deputy director of the smallest independent agency. The National Academy of Public Administration has been holding a series of workshops for its Transition 2016 panels. The goal is to help whomever is elected achieve his or her policy goals and establish a high-performing government. Joining me with more, former deputy OMB director and federal chief financial officer, Ed Dasev. Ed, good to have you back.
Tom, thanks for having me.
What, first of all, should be the overarching goal of transition? And because it really does mean different things at different levels.
I think transition means getting the best people in place as quickly as possible to do two things. One, to formulate the policies that the new administration has espoused. And second, to manage the government, to manage the policies, but also to manage the day-to-day operations of the government so that failure, disaster, all the terrible things we know can happen, don't happen.
Do you think that the hyper-politicalization that we have today prevents maybe an incoming administration from really adopting what are good nonpartisan practices that might have been in place by the prior people?
I don't think so. I think two things. One, they're going to have to work very closely with Congress to make sure that they understand the limits that Congress is going to set for the actions that they undertake. Secondly, they need to have a good outgoing debrief by the current administration as to what they're trying to achieve in various policy initiatives. They may accept the initiative, may reject the initiative, but whatever it is, they need to understand it. Similarly, in management challenges, management policies, they need to understand what they're trying to achieve, for example, in the evidence-based arena. As an example, the Obama administration has been very active in developing evidence-based solutions.
In a practical sense, though, it's likely to be easier if Hillary Clinton is the next administration than if Donald Trump is, do you think?
I think any time you move from one party to the same party, it's easier because the people have worked together at various levels in various ways, so it's easier. I think a Trump transition would be very difficult because he'll need a cadre of people who are experienced in federal management, and he's less likely to have that cadre than Mrs. Clinton is.
All right, let's look at some of the recommendations. There's a whole set of workshops that the NAPA conducted called Collaboration Across Boundaries, and one of the things that recommends is that OMB take some steps. Now, when you were at OMB, I think there were attempts at establishing pools of funding for things like e-government and so forth, and Congress kind of got in the way of that. But nevertheless, there is this recommendation to establish a cross-unit collaboration, as a bonus criteria.
And I think the current administration is doing that. They have priority goals that cut across agencies, and those goals need to be ascribed to by multiple agencies in order to succeed. The primary example of that is the Department of Veterans Affairs working with the Department of Housing and Urban Development and the Labor Department on housing for veterans. VA has social services, HUD has housing units, labor has job counseling. The three agencies working hand in hand under a memorandum of understanding have been able to fundamentally end veterans' homelessness. That's the kind of collaboration we're talking about, very specific, very focused on a particular objective.
Also, something that comes up from time to time is the state and local involvement, because almost every federal program, is delivered at that level. Many of them are, anyhow. And how do you think the state of trust is between state government right now and federal government, and can that help or impede transition?
It's an excellent question. When I was working on the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the states and the localities were absolutely essential. If they didn't get the money out, if they didn't make sure the projects got done properly, the federal government had little recourse. So we literally set up conference calls with them and the vice president every week, either the states or the localities. I had about 55 or 56 responsible officials, primary responsible officials, who I could reach out to easily at the state level. We had the same kind of structure at the local level. So that kind of collaboration is absolutely essential. Again, multi-agency, but also with the private sector, as well as with the nonprofit sector, as well as with state and local governments. It takes a village to run a government. Actually, it takes a network to run a government.
We're speaking with Ed DeSev, Senior Advisor for Transition 2016 at the National Academy of Public Administration. And another set of panels looked at something that you call strategic foresight. And you cite the something way back, which is the creation of the interstate highway system, which was, you know, a big piece of foresight. One of the questions that the panel is asking is, why does that matter now? So why does it matter now?
First of all, strategic foresight is looking beyond the current horizon. Right now, our strategic planning process is roughly 4 to 6 years. That's an important thing to set our objectives, to mobilize our resources within an administration. Strategic foresight goes 10, 15, 20 years and looks at the trends that we already know about and tries to estimate the impact those trends will have on the nation as a whole. So that strategic foresight allows an agency to say, if we want this kind of future, here are the things we have to do today to build that future. I think it's important because we've got some enormous challenges ahead of us. I don't want to even cite particular ones because you start to get into a partisan discussion, but everyone's concerned about immigration and the impact of immigration could be extremely positive. We've seen that immigrants have been healthy, strong additions to our population in various places, filling in workforce shortages in places like South Dakota. So that issue is one of strategic foresight. But if you're going to change your immigration policy, you have to think about the impact on education, the impact on the labor market in a very much longer term than just this time frame. So I think strategic foresight allows agencies to look at a future that they want to create and work toward it.
And a couple of major initiatives in the past few years have passed almost totally with only one party behind it. Do you think it's possible going into the future for, again, whoever's elected, to be able to create these kinds of strategic initiatives in such a way that both sides can, at least to some degree, buy in?
I think we have to. The gridlock that currently exists in things like Social Security and Medicare is unsustainable. And if something is unsustainable, it will stop. That's a paraphrase of a quote from someone else. The test of the next president will be to get cooperation of Congress on policies that he or she thinks are essential for the government. President Obama had a Congress, a Senate, and a House of Representatives that allowed him to get the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act in place, to get the Affordable Care Act in place early on in the administration. Unfortunately, I don't believe that either Mr. Trump or Mrs. Clinton are going to have that luxury. It's possible that Mr. Trump might, but we just don't know. Even if he does, it may be difficult for him, for his kinds of policies, to get a majority, even of his own party in certain cases. So the first job one of the president and the president's senior people, including the vice president, whoever that is to reach out and find out what is, politics is called the art of the possible. What is possible in this congressional environment? And let's figure out where we can join hands and move forward. Not worrying about who's going to get the credit or whether so-and-so is going to get reelected. It's very difficult to do, but it's absolutely necessary.
And let me ask you about some nuts and bolts things, which really the last two or three administrations, regardless of party, have worked hard on. One is shared services, the other is financial management, and the whole idea of program assessment, because there are persistent problems in the government surrounding all of those issues. Do you think those will continue to have legs, and can the people leaving impart a lot of knowledge to the people coming in there?
Absolutely, and I'm hoping that my successor in the controller's job, Dave Mader, doesn't leave. I'd love to have him stay. I keep asking him to stay either on Republican or Democratic terms. Dave has been the champion of shared services, and I think the reality that there can be centers of excellence that do things well so you don't have to do them is finally coming to the fore. It's hard because people don't want to give up their shop. They don't want to give up being able to walk down the hall and say, oh, no, change on the payroll this week. They don't want to do that. But I think they're realizing that the cost savings that they can realize are extremely important for their agency, that the constraints, the tooth-to-tail ratio, can be improved by using shared services and things like the cloud. I mean, being able, not just shared services, but being able to innovate Why does everybody have to have a data center? Why, you know, there are many cloud providers that could act as a virtual data center for those entities. So I think that needs to be stressed. Financial management, every agency except the Defense Department has had a clean opinion at one time or another. A couple of them need to go in and take some corrective actions along the way. DoD is working very hard to try to get to an unqualified opinion. I think financial management is so much farther along than it was in 1991 when the CFO Act was passed. It's not a non-issue, but it's almost a non-issue at this point.
And let me ask you about one other point, which really you need Congress, I think, also in, and that is the erosion of trust in public service, as evidenced by some of the actions and attempted actions in Congress. How can a new administration maybe restore that trust, not between the administration itself and public servants, but between Congress and public servants?
I'm hoping that there will be a significant effort, and I don't want to analogize it to anything, because certainly President George W. Bush had a very strong effort in this area. Certainly President Clinton and Vice President Gore had a very strong effort in this area. I think we need, one uses the term like Hoover Commission. We need something, Grace Commission. We need something sweeping that will allow solutions to bubble up and be adopted both in the Congress and in the administration. The administration has to show the public, the general public, that they're getting value for money, that there is something that they're receiving that's more efficient, that's better for their life than what they had before. How many people now use ATMs and how many people use tellers? People think ATMs are better. They're there 24 hours a day. So far, I haven't ever had one make a mistake. They're quick and easy to use. We need to move government service in that kind of direction where it's convenient, where it's helpful, and people realize the value that they're getting. That needs to be the focus of the next administration, value for money.
Ed DeSev is Senior Advisor for Transition 2016 at the National Academy of Public Administration. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Tom. Always a pleasure.
We'll be interviewing other advisors and panelists between now and Inauguration Day. Read the NAPA report and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.